Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, and welcome to episode 109 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box, and today it is a solo episode with just me, myself, and I. So we're gonna go through all the latest K-topics, your unpopular opinions, and everything in between. If you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. So let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started. So you know the drill by now. First things first, we're gonna go through some hot topics. Got a few stories here. So first thing, short and sweet, 21's I Am The Best is the first ever song to hit 100 million streams on Spotify, according to reports. I don't know, like, how... I think it has to be the first K-pop song. I feel like there has to be a song prior to that. I don't know. That just sounds mad to me. I mean, it makes sense. It's such an iconic song. But it sounds right but wrong at the same time. I don't know if that's just me, though. But, yay, I love that for my babes. I hope, you know, they could come together, do some sort of reunion tour situation. I know I did a story, I think... when was it? Maybe a couple months back or a month back, about a cryptic post CL posted, and you had like Dada and maybe Minji. They were commenting cryptic stuff like, yeah, I can't wait kind of vibes. So I'm hoping it's got something to do with copywriting, something to do with where they can, you know, come together, because I feel like they're stronger together, but that's just me. Moving on, EXO's Dio confirms that the group will make a comeback soon when Baekhyun gets discharged from the military. And baby, I cannot wait. I miss EXO. Like, there's a gap in my heart that misses their music. And I don't know. Just on this whole tangent of like Gen 3 and seeing some of, you know, like the end of year performances with some of the new generations groups, and they're performing like twice and stuff. And it's just like, when you see groups perform songs from like a previous generation and it's at the end of year, it's kind of sad for like OG fans, because it kind of signifies the end of that generation. It's really sad. I get all so emotional, and I just feel like I'm so out of it as well, and it's just so sad. And then last but not least, we have to talk about this whole Luna Chu situation and Blockberry Creative. So I just wanted to go through this thread that is by Wanted on Twitter, and it was their account, and I think it was at junie_trans for basically translating this whole dispatch article surrounding the situation with Blockberry Creative and Chu, and I just feel like it's broke down really well. So this may be a bit lengthy, but once we go through it, we could then kind of discuss and talk about it. So I think the article is summarized into four categories. So one is choose unfavorable contract. Two is the flip that issue. Three is choose suppose gapchi. I think that's like gapchi. I think that's how you say it. And fourth is choose interview with dispatch themselves. Okay, so buckle up, because this is gonna be a lengthy one. So Chu's unfavorable contract. It says here, Chu realized her contract was unfavorable to her. Because of this, she filed an injunction to nullify her contract for 2022. And in January 2022, the court sided with Chu to have her contract nullified. Chu's original contract with BBC at debut, December 2017, first split the profits 70 to BBC and then 30 to Chu, then split the cost of expenses 50 to BBC, 50 to Chu. Chu's revised contract with BBC, April 2022, valid to December 31st, 2022, is profits 30% to BBC and then 70 to Chu, and then expenses 50-50 between BBC and Chu. Chu's new contract included two new clauses. One would allow either party to claim for damages if applicable and charge the person who caused the damages 50 million won. 50 million won is about £32,000 to £33,000, and I'm guessing it's around the same for USD because our conversion rate, the British pound baby, has dropped. But anyway, and this would also include a clause to terminate the contract immediately. New specific inclusions in Chu's contract. Chu has the right to skip all member Lunar schedules 3 times per month. Chu has the right to skip Lunar album promotion schedules 3 times per month. If the schedules are not discussed in advance, Chu's schedule will be prioritised. If BBC wishes to change the schedule due to the inevitable circumstances, they can do so only once. BBC also had given up and gave Chu full rights to oversee all activities related to Chu. This includes advertisements and broadcasts that were offered to Chu. In addition, all external proposals would need to be relayed to Chu without any fee. So that is the first section about her contract. And I think it's amazing that when she was able to revise her contract, she was able to flip her 30% of revenue to 70. We love a boss queen. We love that. And just seeing this makes you want to see everyone else's contracts, because that old contract was a bit of a mess. Anyway, moving on to the next section that's called Flip That, called the Flip That issue. On the 25th of May 2022, Chu's mother invoked the new damage compensation clause during filming for Lunar's Flip That. 1. Filming began on the 24th of May at 9 a.m. 2. Filming was delayed and scene 16, group dance, scheduled for 11 p.m. was delayed. 3. BBC asked Chu's side to excuse and a 1 hour delay. 4. Chu's mother invoked the clause due to that delay. Chu was scheduled to shoot a commercial film on the 25th of May, and Chu's mother claimed that the MV filming delay had caused interference with the following scheduled, asking for compensation. That makes sense. At the MV filming on the 25th of May at 12:27 a.m., Lunar member C called CEO A, informing that Chu would be leaving their MV filming site even though they needed to film their group dance scene. CEO A asked member C how much more is left in the MV filming schedule, and member C, with no knowledge of the filming, MV filming schedule, asked CEO A to refer to their manager. At 12:35 a.m., CEO A calls Chu's mother and shares that the filming for the group scene has yet to be completed and the delay has gone longer than expected. CEO A states that it is awkward for Chu to leave in the middle of shooting. Chu's mother replied, saying that she sees the situation and agrees to stay at the filming site. Okay. Once this call was over, Chu's mother messaged CEO A stating that there was a breach of contract as per Article 5, Paragraph 2, claiming damages. Chu's mother stated that she's willing to go along with the filming delays, but she would be seeking damages as per the clause that BBC added. Yes, come through, Mama Chu. She is not playing with her daughter. And I love this. Chu's mother stated that she's willing to go along with the filming delays, but would be seeking damages as the clause that BBC added. Yep. COA then agrees to the damage compensation and informed Chu's mother that Chu will participate until the end of the filming, as the compensation will be paid for delays, including scene 19, a group scene. However, Chu's mother disagrees with this action as further shooting will affect her commercial film shooting later that day. BBC ended up compensating Chu for the schedule disruption, and Chu had finished filming the scene 16 while the other group scenes, scene 19, was scrapped as Chu ended up not filming the scene. And I feel like that makes complete sense. As it states, she had another scheduled activity, timing was messed up, and Chu's mother was not playing around, and we love that. Okay, we're going to move on to Chu's supposed japjil, and I think that stems from, it was an expression referring to an arrogant or authoritarian attitude or actions of people who have positions of power over others. Okay, I am so confused. I have no idea what is going on. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to see if there's like a simpler version, because especially if this is like the first time we're hearing this, it can get a bit confusing. Okay, so this is regarding the power abuse. That is the whole Jap-Chul situation. Dispatch shared Kakao talk between Chu and Director B, talking about her participation in Luna's activities and her request for her stamp. I'm not sure what her stamp is. Based on the conversation, B might think Chu was being rude, but at the same time, Chu had already lost her trust. So that's what the whole conversation was about. Other than money from her words in the convo, you didn't give me money, you also didn't give me my stamp, you didn't give me the settlement detail document. BlockBerry is the best. Her trust with the company has fallen. There are words spreading, which means Chu is earning money to pay off Luna's debt, but this is wrong. Chu's money belongs to her, so does each other members, as they have individual contracts. So I'm guessing that's what that section is. That update was from Korean updates. If you guys want to take a look, I'm not going to act like I did that. So that was the Kakao talk. And then she did an interview with Dispatch as well. I'm not really sure. Like, if you want to go and look into that, please do. There's probably loads of people that have done videos on the whole situation, breaking it down. And especially those that are in Korea or within the music industry may have a better understanding of the whole situation. But it just seems as if there was a lack of trust between Chu and BlockBerry, and it's just become very messy. But I'm not gonna lie, and this may be just my bias, it doesn't look good for BlockBerry. And it, seeing how the original contract was for Chu, makes me want to see what the other contracts for the other members are, not even just within BlockBerry, just across the board. And I just love that Chu had her mom in her corner. And yeah, I do feel like especially idols that debut young, or even just trainees, they need to have some sort of security, have someone that's in their corner, back in their corner. Because listen, the entertainment business will chew you up and spit you out. They don't care. They view, you know, these people as products on a conveyor belt. And there's someone cuter, younger, that's being born every minute, that's, you know, they're happy to make someone take their place. And yeah, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. But hey, I know this was long. Hopefully I'll cut this down and hopefully that made sense. But if you guys want to add anything to the whole Chu situation, or you want me to talk about something else that you've seen, then do let me know by hitting us up on socials at HallyuAtChu. So that was hot topics. I did that the other way around, but I'll repeat again. If there's any stories you want us to comment on, or you want to comment on a story, make sure you hit us up on socials at HallyuAtChu. All right, moving on to our next segment called Say What. We send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea, questions. You can send that all to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com. Or you can submit an anonymous form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyoutea. So I actually found some interesting unpopular opinions in the Reddit space this week. I thought I would change it up. So the first unpopular opinion, and let me know if you agree or disagree, says visual positions do matter. This person says, I'm not a fan of it, but I find it silly that people say it doesn't. South Korea in general is relied heavily on visuals. Many get plastic surgery to have an easier time just getting jobs. Secondly, you need a specific idol to get the group more popular, like how Won Young is getting many modern opportunities and is a brand ambassador. I think it's an unpopular opinion because I've seen so many say it doesn't matter. I get where they come from. I do think every idol is beautiful, but the visual position is almost the most important thing for a K-pop group, including branding. I personally do agree, and we can't, and I know it seems like a horrible thing to say, but I do think it does matter. Usually, especially in the sea of groups in general, it takes that one person to intrigue your interest, and then you go down the rabbit hole, and that visual may not be your bias. You may fall in love with someone else, and of course that isn't the only way as well to get into a group. But especially if it's around debut time and, you know, you haven't got a clue what, you know, each member's skill set is, it does make sense. It does. And I do like how this person did reference about South Korea being a visual place. And some of you may or may not know, I don't know how much of it is practiced now, but, you know, for CVs or resumes, you would have to put your picture on there, and before they've even read your resume, you could be like the most perfect candidate. But if you don't have the look, then it's kind of hard for you to get that job. But at the same time, I guess I understand the importance of it, but I don't know if there should be like a dedicated role for the visual member, especially in today's standards. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think there's such thing as an ugly idol. I don't think someone's just solely get into a group because they're visually stunning. I feel like they should have some sort of talent. But we just have to be real with ourselves, and we just have to acknowledge that, you know, people listen with their eyes first. I don't know. I get it, but at the same time, I don't think it should be like their sole title. I don't think there's been an idol where I feel like they shouldn't be there because all they do is just stand there and look good. Yeah, let me know what you guys think about that. Moving on to our next opinion. It says K-pop dance covers are more entertaining than the original performances. I almost never watch any K-pop performances on shows anymore. I guess this ties into the whole lip-syncing issue, where I don't see the point in watching a performance with a pre-recorded vocals, especially if the group has subpar stage presence. Sometimes a performance can come off a bit too manufactured and perfect, which isn't my cup of tea. I'm not saying that this is the case with every group. I love watching dance covers, and I'm a huge fan of watching K-pop in public videos. The people in these dance teams are so talented, and you can tell that they really love to dance and perform. It's just such a joy to watch people dance and smile and have fun. I find that when a new song is released, I may watch one performance by the group and that's it, because you don't get anything new by the next performance and it gets boring to me. But I can watch covers again and again and it never seems old. I kind of agree with this, and I think this ties in with the whole dance practice videos as well. I think K-pop has got to the stage where they're trying to be too polished. Like, there's no, and I think I've said this on other episodes before, there's no roughness around the edges. I feel like if we talk about, again, I'm going a bit off tangent, but if you talk about K-pop dance practice videos, for example, right? I miss the grainy quality. I miss, for example, obviously we know that SHINee was the first to do it. I miss someone, like, I think it was Taemin. Taemin going to press the record button, run back into place before the song starts. You know, just having that feel where it's not so, where the camera's in a static place. The camera's not moving everywhere. It's in one place. You hear the squeaking of the shoe. You know, someone's hat might fall off, and you know, another member will swiftly kick it out of the way. You know it's not part of the dance, but it's like little nuances like that that you miss. And even coming down to outfit, why do you have a whole costume design for something that's meant to be a practice? Where's everyone's like, okay, I'm not saying that in everyone's dance practice videos they don't have individual style, but they look too much like a group. It doesn't look like Ben, Timothy, Damien all came together just to practice real quick. Do you get it? Why are we having a stylist for a dance practice video? Like, I just miss when someone's wearing pink and someone else is wearing green and it doesn't necessarily match, but it makes sense to that individual idol, that roughness that I miss. I think with this person, when they're talking about they rather watch K-pop dance covers more than the original performances, as they said that you could see the love and the joy. The reason why it may seem a bit more entertaining than the original group is because you get to see new nuances of the dance as well. And for example, if just say they're doing a Blackpink dance, for example, how Jennie will dance to Jennie's bit is not how Jennifer would dance to Jennie's. That is a very confusing example, but you get what I mean. How a person from a dance cover group will dance to Jennie, because they're going to take different things away from it. And again, it's out of love, it's not out of obligation, if that makes sense. And it does seem like with certain K-pop performances, and of course it's a job, like, I'm not stupid, of course it's a job, but there's that kind of forced obligation there. And I think the reason why music show performances from the original group can be seen as a bit boring at times is, and again, I think I've mentioned this before, I feel like there's a lot of dances these days that will come under two categories. It's either, it's a dance that's just meant to go viral on TikTok. Like, you could tell they've done this simple thing, so it's like catchy and other people can do it. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but when everyone's doing it and it's for every comeback, it can become a bit redundant. And the second thing is, there's a lot of dances that only can be performed with certain camera angles, certain camera trickery. And if you want to go and watch a certain group live, that will kind of take you out of it. And again, I do really feel like it's the imperfections that are missing. As this person said, if you're not even going to come to stage and give me a little pizzazz whilst you're lip syncing, I'd rather hear the odd wobbles and, you know, someone trying to catch their breath. Like, we're human. Like, you know, you're not robots. We expect to see these things. And I think that's what they're missing. It's that the perfectly imperfect performance is what I feel like is missing within K-pop. Like, everything is trying to become too polished, too perfect. But that's what I personally think. Let me know what you guys think. Do you agree with my take? Do you disagree? Let me know. And the last unpopular opinion is, I like rap in K-pop. Okay, I feel like this is an unpopular opinion because I see posts and videos about how beep rapping in K-pop is, and I get it. Idol rappers will never hold a candle to American hip-hop artists, especially since most of them don't write and just assigned to do it. But I can't lie, I love it. One of my favorite rap lines in K-pop is Everglow. I don't consider EU and Aisha real rappers by any means, but I love their idol rapping. It just adds so much to their songs. Like, in First, the rap part always floors me, and I just feel it adds more texture to the song. And it's not even restricted to good idol rappers either. For example, I don't consider Irene or Yuri good, but I love their rap part in Red Flavor. It's just so fun. Songs that are all singing are good, but when the beat changes and we get a good rhythmic rap, it's just chef's kiss to me. Even if it's cringy, it's just fun, and I listen to K-pop to have fun. I think K-pop rap is overhated and is good for what its purpose is intended to be. A little side rant, I'm also tired of people saying Soyeon and sometimes CL are the only good female rappers in K-pop. Don't get me wrong, I love them, like that's so discrediting to so many good female rappers in K-pop. I feel like so many good rappers are overlooked by the blanket statement K-pop rap is bad. Okay, I agree. I feel, and I'm not gonna lie, I am one of those people that can be like, oh, here we go, another K-pop rap. But it's not necessarily, because the thing is, I feel like there are some K-pop rap parts in songs that are not necessarily like good in the sense of, oh, this person has bars, this is sick. Like, it's so bad that it's good, do you know what I mean? And it adds something to the song. I don't hate those type of raps. I feel like sometimes there might be certain songs where a rap is just not needed, and it's just shoved and forced into the song, and we don't need it. I don't want to hear it. Y'all don't want to hear it. It's just, cut it off. But I do think as well, if you are a rapper in a group, I feel like you should just have fun and write or help write your raps. Or companies, because obviously there might be certain idol rappers that want to write and not given an opportunity. But like, companies should give them the opportunity to join in within the creative process. Because I feel like if you're not writing or help writing your raps, could you just argue you're doing glorified karaoke? Is that harsh? Because if you gave me the same amount of time to learn those lines and I rap it and I don't really add anything, or I'm not allowed to add anything to it, it's just glorified karaoke. Would you agree or disagree with that? And I do agree, I hate the whole takes of Soyeon and CL's only, no, you guys just don't know any other female, good female, you know, rap idols that are out there. Like, I say this all the time, LE from EXID, I feel like is a pioneer in a sense of the sound that a lot of girls go for today. She helped train Hyuna, and then in the essence, because of Hyuna, you have your Soyeons. And that's not discrediting the talents that they have. And even Moonbyul from Mamamoo as well. I'm trying to think, who else can I think of? I don't know, I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head. But yeah, I just feel like a lot of women are stepped on, to be fair. Even though I would say this generation, fourth generation, the girls are killing it. The girls are killing it out of the park in terms of girl groups. But back to this unpopular opinion. I do like the essence that K-pop idol rap brings. It does add a new colour, new texture to a song. But as I said, I just feel like it doesn't need to be in every song. But that's just my opinion. But yeah guys, that's the end of all the unpopular opinions. If you want to add to anything that's discussed today, or you want to submit any of your unpopular opinions, make sure you hit us up on socials at @HowYouAtYou, or don't forget to submit a form at kpopbox.co.uk/HowYouAtYou. You can do it anonymously, give yourself a nice name, all that good stuff, and we'll read it. Moving on to our last segment called On The Radar, where I let you know what is on my radar this week. What is on my radar? As I don't think I have anything per se on my radar this week, K-pop wise, but I do have a question for you guys. Do you have like a favorite Christmassy, holiday-ish K-pop song? For me, I feel like nothing tops the whole EXO Christmas album situation. I'm trying to think of a particular song. What was the name of that song? Yes, I think it's called Christmas Day. Yes, that's a good R&B. I love me some R&B vibes. So if you want to feel grown and sexy this Christmas, listen to EXO Christmas Day. I'll say that's on my radar. But also want you to say as well, I actually miss, and I could be wrong because I'm not looking around like that, but they don't have like good Christmassy, holiday-ish themed shows. Not necessarily that idols have to perform songs that are Christmassy, but I like just a show that's Christmassy. How many times can I say Christmassy? Do you get what I mean? Do you understand what I mean? I hope you get what I mean. Oh, another thing that was on my radar. I wish you a Merry Christmas more than anyone to the ladies. What was it, like Esper and Red Velvet? I just keep seeing clips of that. That's the most... What is it with these cheesy Christmas songs? Is that... I don't mind it. It's good fun. It's cheesy fun. And the other Christmassy type song that comes to mind is probably the Stray Kids' Feliz Navidad, Evil, is it Evil Christmas? One of them. Me can't remember. But you know what I'm talking about. So yeah, I guess for next week, if there is an episode next week, keep your eyes peeled to these streaming platform streets. I do wanna put out there, what is your like favorite song, favorite MV from this year? Who are you looking forward to see in the new year? And if you submit that all to kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou, in the little section, just put other and then just type away, because I would love to discuss that with Shay, hopefully, next week. That would be fantastic. Because next week would be the last episode of the year. And yeah, I would love to delve deep into recapping the year. So yeah, hopefully this episode wasn't too weird listening to one person. Thank you so much for listening to How Are You At You, and remember, you can hit us up on socials at How Are You At You. I've been Shanice from K-Pop Box. Hopefully content coming soon, don't kill me. Follow me at kpopbox_. Don't forget to rate us, leave reviews on wherever you are listening to us on. And until next time, we will holla at you. Bye.